Hey, this is Charles Rufino with Odd Muse Brewing. You can follow us on Instagram at Odd Muse Brewing, and you're listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
It's your boy, Paul Tony D, hanging out. Jerry Richards, ATS here.
Modern Brews and Beats.
You're listening to episode 148 of Modern Brews and Beats. I'm Jerry Richard, JW Richard, with ntxbeer.net and on social as ntx_beer, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cool Tony D will be joining us next week. However, you'll hear him in these interview snippets that we're sharing for this episode that we're calling Kaleidoscope. Today is going to feature three abbreviated interviews that we've done before, and you'll see the show notes at ntxbeer.net. First up is a snippet from episode 97 with Caroline Wallace, the deputy director of the Texas Craft Brewers Guild. Be sure to follow them on social as they're gearing up for Small Business Saturday 2022, and they've unveiled this year's collectible glass that you can buy at participating breweries. Also, registration will open soon for the 2023 Texas Craft Brewers Cup. The Brewers Cup competition is the first professional beer competition run and organized by the Guild to showcase outstanding quality and variety of Texas craft beer and the brewers that make it. In our talk, Caroline gives us insight on what the Guild does for its members. Next up, we have a segment from Sunny of Three Nations Brewing. We originally talked with her in episode 136, and since that time, Three Nations Brewing has won a silver medal in the Great American Beer Festival for their beer Devour Imperial Milk Stout Mexican Chocolate. Sunny discusses the difference between their core beers, like those in the Devour series, and those made under their two additional brands, Switchyard and Simple Brewing. Rounding out today's show will be a snippet of our interview with jazz bassist Alex Tremblay. His debut album, Thoughts and Images, is out on all digital platforms. You'll hear him talk about the process of making this new album. Before we get into our episode, just wanted to let you know about a few events that are coming up this week. Deep Ellum Brewing Company is about to celebrate 11 years of business, and they'll be having several events this week, of course, culminating with their main party on Friday, November 11th. No tickets are required. It's going to be a lot of axe throwing and different things going on there, so definitely check that out. Also, Breaking Brew Meadery was going to be celebrating their fourth anniversary on Saturday, November 12th. We have those events and more listed at ntxbeer.net/event calendar. Now, enjoy the episode.
Coasting. In my own mind. From time to time. I'm just sailing. IPAs, I'm inhaling. Coasting through the days as I watch the smoke trailing. I'm off the grid, no time for emailing. Stuck on my wave as I watch the sun setting. Coasting, though I never seen the ocean. I always been in motion, heal myself with the potion.
This is Caroline Wallace. I'm the deputy director of the Texas Craft Brewers Guild, and you're listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
You know, for people who are listening to the show and they've probably heard about the Texas Craft Brewers Guild, what is it really? What does the organization actually do for advancing craft?
Yeah, pretty much all 50 states have craft brewers guilds. We all kind of share, I think, three-pronged missions, although it might vary a little bit state to state where the emphasis is. But, you know, for us, the Texas Craft Brewers Guild, our mission is to advocate for our members, both with the legislature to, you know, pass better beer laws in Texas, improve the landscape for craft brewers, and with our regulatory body, the TABC. So work for more favorable rulemaking and, you know, treatment for breweries there, basically to get fresher beer in folks' hands faster. We also do a lot of education. So we put on conferences for brewers in the state, have a, you know, online forum and a community of brewers where people can troubleshoot, share, you know, safety tips and equipment and process troubleshooting and tips on how to run a business and all those kind of things. And then promotion is the last part. So we put on The Texas Craft Brewers Festival, which we're going to talk a lot about today. We also have a statewide brewery passport app called Texas Brewery Passport, where folks can find breweries near them and collect passport stamps so they can redeem for fun rewards and stuff and climb their way up the leaderboard. So it really is just trying to make Texas the best state for craft beer possible and, you know, get the word out about small and independent brewers and encourage folks to go out and explore.
That's awesome. I mean, if anything, I think about the fact that we, you know, got beer to go, you know, just 2 years ago, and thankfully we got it before the pandemic kicked in.
Yeah.
I can't even really imagine what the scene would have been like had we not gotten that.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been with the Texas Craft Brewers Guild since late 2015. And that's something that was more than a decade in the works, you know, more than a decade in the making of legislative advocacy from brewers and from craft beer fans, right? And we watched as states like Alabama and Georgia and some of the last kind of holdouts to not have beer to go won those rights in the mid, you know, 2010s, and finally to have that victory in 2019 after so many years of fighting. It is, yeah, just like you said, so fortunate and ironic and just, you know, straight up wild that it happened, what, 9 months before the world as we knew it changed, and beer to go became the primary, if not the only way that so many breweries were able to get beers to their fans.
Wow.
You know, what's funny about that, coming to Arkansas for years now, since my wife's from here, it was always here. And I always thought that was so cool. Like, oh, I can walk into the beer brewery and buy beer, but I can't do that in Texas. It didn't make any sense to me, but I loved just coming up here knowing that I'm able to do that. I always scratched my head. Like, come on, Texas, hurry up. Like, hurry up. And it finally happened. And then I moved.
Right.
I'm like, what the hell?
I like to say we went from having, you know, some of the worst beer laws in the country to the last few years being like firmly middle of the pack, maybe in a lot of ways, you know? Our first big victory was in 2013. That was before my time with the Guild, but certainly I was a craft beer fan at that time. And, you know, sounds like y'all been around for a while. And for listeners who have been, you know, before that, before the 2013 legislative victories in Texas, you know, tap rooms weren't legal for production breweries. So those were the days of the buy the glass and get three tokens for a beer and a tour, right?
Sure.
And then, I remember those.
And then for brew pubs. Yeah. And then for brew pubs where you could buy a beer, they couldn't distribute it at all. So you could never have a brew pub's beer at another bar or restaurant or find their six pack in the grocery store. So it's just been great to see so many better rights and privileges for both categories that folks are divided into in the state of Texas. So people they really have a much better choice now between, you know, what's the best license for you.
What is Craft PAC?
Yeah, that's our political action committee. So we formed that in 2018 as we were leading up to the fight. Well, we'd had Beer to Go legislation, I think, introduced for six sessions prior. For those that don't know, the Texas legislature meets every other year instead of every year. So it means that progress is extra slow in Texas sometimes. We formed Craft PAC as a political action committee to utilize grassroots fundraising, to put some power behind our push for beer to go and for other legislative priorities. You know, wholesalers who tend to be our primary opponent at the legislature had contributed over $18 million to the political process in the decade previous. And we certainly aren't contributing, you know, $18 million a decade with Craft PAC, but it's given us a voice in the conversation, and it's given, you know, it's let legislators know that the people really care about craft beer, right? And that folks show up and get loud and give $5 and $10 and show their support that way. And it allowed us to do a lot around Beer to Go and make a big presence. I don't know if y'all saw some photos and videos, but we actually canned some beers from different breweries across the state in a souvenir Beer to Go can. And we did like four or five delivery days at the Capitol where we went to every legislator's office with these six packs of beer to go that had education about the bill on them, and through events where everyone came and drank this packaged beer to go. And that was just kind of a cool guerrilla marketing in addition to all the other things we did to really get the word out and get some visibility. Prior to that, you know, like in the alcoholic beverage code, beer to go is called like off-premise sales, and that wasn't really sticking at the legislature, right? Year when we would come back with our off-premise sales bill, pretty forgettable. But you know, after 2018, 2019, everybody knows beer to go.
Hey everyone, this is Sunny with Three Nations Brewing, and you can follow us on Instagram at Three Nations Brewing, and you are listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
So another thing you did is that you started kind of branching out with some different brand identities there with the brewery, and I saw some beers, a couple of beers there that was one under Symbol Brewing and another one under Switchyard. Sort of what was the rationale of kind of having this three-in-one experience under one roof?
Sure. So Switchyard, first of all, is a Three Nations beer. That's just a brand that we have. And so like we have our, what was originally Devout is our Devour Imperial Milk Stout series that rotates through different flavors. We started doing a bourbon barrel aged series, and we needed that to have a name so that we could, no matter what beer we put into the bourbon barrels, we wanted it to, it would come out and it would just be part of the Switchyard series. So we've got Switchyard Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. We'll have Volume 4 this November. It'll come out on Black Friday. And so that was kind of our homage to Carrollton. This area right here is Switchyard. They have that festival every year, Carrollton at the Switchyard. And so that was a little bit of that connection to downtown Carrollton. So Switchyard is our bourbon barrel aged series under Three Nations. And then Symbol is a completely separate beer brand that we launched during the pandemic, which, hey, let's launch a beer brand in the middle of a pandemic. Why not?
Yeah.
But why not, right? So our founder and brewmaster, Gavin Secchi, is, in our opinion, and in the opinion of many others, probably one of the top five brewers in the whole state of Texas. He has an extensive background of commercial brewing, and he was trained in Germany. He's just a fantastic brewer, and he can create any beer, and he has recipes in his brain for years. And Three Nations Brewing is a little more focused towards making sure that we have a little bit of something for everyone, a little bit of an everyman's beer, in that you can come to the tap room and there should be something for you. We've got a light beer, we've got a fruit beer, we've got an IPA, we have a stout. They don't change that much. There's not a lot of rotators in there. We have our core beers, and then we have a little bit of seasonals. But for the most part, Three Nations is tried and true, and those beers are going to stick around. We wanted to go after a completely different market of people. You know, those beer geeks who are looking for the over-the-top IPAs, the stouts that have all the adjuncts in them, those fruited sours that are really heavy on the fruits, just something different. The people who are always looking for something new. And so Symbol Brewing was created to really stretch those legs there. Symbol Brewing is sold in 16-ounce cans. So we do four packs of 16-ounce, where our Three Nations beers are all sold in 12-ounce cans. We rotate them every month. And so we bring out a new beer every month. And then when it's gone, it's gone. So if you didn't get it, you might be out of luck there. Of them have been like, they're just lightning in a bottle, and people are like, when are you bringing that back? And sure, we'll say, well, we're not, because it was just this one and done. But it's a really unique, fun way to just reach a new audience of people, and then allow our team to have some more creativity on that end as well. Yeah, it's been really fun. So in September, it'll be 2 years that Symbol Brewing started, and it's been really successful. We brew 60 barrels every month of a new beer. And then once a quarter, we do a collaboration with another brewery, either in DFW or somewhere around the state. And we do 30 barrels of that collaboration. So it's a pretty substantial brewing production. This is not, you know, it's not a small operation. We really have invested heavily into the Symbol Brewing Company.
Yeah, I've tasted one of the collabs recently, the Colder IPA. Which is always a fun, that's just a fun style to try and to kind of get the, because your taste buds automatically want to make it an IPL, but we know yes. It has more of a West Coast style, so it's sort of a crispy West Coast, so it's always fun to try that style from different people and symbols was delicious. And then I know the latest beer I had, it was a white chocolate stout, golden stout.
Yes, that the white chocolate. That one. Oh my gosh, so good.
Yeah, all
day. Sounds delicious. So
The funny thing is, we did a cold IPA with Intrinsic Brewing out of Garland, and that was fantastic. Right, we loved that beer. So then we decide that we're going to do our next collaboration was with Holdout Brewing out of Austin, and we decided to do a colder IPA. So it's not just cold, it's colder. So we really bumped up the rice in that and added some honey. So it really let the hops shine, and it really brought the maltiness down. It is like the most crisp, clean beer. Harris, our salesperson, he always said the three C's, crisp, clean, and crushable. So that's been really fun to do. It's been a really unique experience to have Symbol Brewing. And so that we can stay true to what Three Nations is with our core beers and the seasonals that we bring every year. Everybody's, where's the seasonal? Where's the one, they're always looking back for what we did previously. And then Symbol, we can bring something brand new out, and if it hits, awesome. And then maybe it'll come back in the future. I'm not going to tell anybody anything specific there, but who knows? So yeah.
I had ideas about doing it, but I just at a certain point I was just like, man, if I don't do it now, I'm gonna keep waiting, and I need to do it, and one of the things that was always kind of the thing that held me back from doing it was just the sheer cost of how much it costs to do. For those that don't know, recording music is very, very expensive.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're gonna do it at a reputable studio, with a good engineer, which jazz being an acoustic music, you want good studio quality stuff. You can produce stuff on your own at home and, put up a couple mics and all that, and it'll sound okay, but there's nothing like working with people that's what they do for a living. I play music for a living. That makes me, somewhat of a expert on certain things musically, and it was great. When I went to record the record, I was working with an amazing engineer, Michael Perez Cisneros, Big Orange Sheep Studios in Brooklyn, in Industry City in Brooklyn. And yeah, it was a great experience to just do that. Monetarily, I paid for everything myself. The label they weren't even in my mind at that time. I was just like, I want to get this music recorded. I want to go through the process and just have something of my own, and I went to the label because I saw that they were kind of liking some of my posts about it. I just reached out to them and I was like, I appreciate you guys like paying attention to, to the posts and stuff. I like what you do with your other artists, and like, here's a private link if you guys want to check out the record. They got back to me really quick, within like a week, and they were like, we love the record, it sounds killing, can we set up like a Zoom call so we could just tell you kind of like what we do for our artists. And I had a really good feeling about the call, and I'm also these days trying to listen more to my intuition, and it was telling me that it was a good move. So yeah, we signed, and they're a very helpful label in terms of like, name building and putting your music out there and feeling good about it. But yeah, that's kind of how all that went about. And they also had a fifth anniversary party that they had invited me to before I even signed. I had a blast at the party. I have a lot of friends that are on the label too, so it was cool to kind of just hang out, with them and feel like a part of it in some ways too. It was a really good hang. I just felt good about the move. I mean, we'll see what happens with the record in the months and years to come. I think it's in terms of a first record, I feel pretty strongly about it, that it's like a good debut record, you know, and I hope people enjoy it as much as I enjoyed making it.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 148 of Modern Brews and Beats. Like we say every week, enjoy your favorite brews and your favorite beats, but please do not drive drunk. Please call a cab, Lyft, Uber, a friend, or be a friend if someone needs to get home safe. Thank you for listening to Modern Brews and Beats.